It's Radio Ghana.
A very good evening to you, and you're welcome to Behind the News. My name is Agatha Samoa, and tonight, auctioning AMA's assets to defray cost of abrogated contract, Metro Board seeks the intervention of AG's office to stop the auction. Ghanaian media and the over-concentration on political discourse. Is it time to alter the status quo? And a chat with GJA Journalist of the Year, Kingsley Obinchere, on his award-winning and his work at GBC. You are also welcome, or you can join the discussions by text on 0266-677570. But first, Nigel Biagwise with a summary of the day's news.
Government has introduced a new approach to budgeting to be known as the programme-based system. The new system will be rolled out in the 2014 budget. The move follows the challenges associated with the current 15-year-old activity-based budgeting system. The Minister of Finance, Tekwe, who disclosed this at a pre-budget workshop for members of parliament, said a new system is to provide better budgeting information for improved accountability and transparency in the financial administration of the country. ECOWAS has adopted a trade liberalization scheme aimed at removing customs duties within the sub-region. A customs specialist at ECOWAS headquarters, Abuja, Phyllis Kwachi, who revealed this on the ongoing 7th ECOWAS trade fair in Accra, urged heads of member states to facilitate the process of the scheme to enable businesses to thrive. Government has expressed its determination to recapture the country's top position in cocoa production through sustained quality assurance. President Mahama made this known when he unveiled the 5th anniversary commemorative plaque of Cargill Ghana Limited, a cocoa buying and processing company at its premises at Tema. And tertiary educational institutions have been charged to adopt flexible admission procedures. Speaking at an intermediary meeting of the International Dean's Course of Africa Conference in Accra, the Deputy Minister of Information, Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa, said this will pave the way for the country's developmental challenges to be met as more students will gain admission.
Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. We are also live on Ubuntu FM 96.5 in Tema, Radio Central 92.5 in Cape Coast, Twin City 94.7 in Takoradi, and Sunrise FM 106.7 in Kofoja. You can also join the discussions by text on 0266-677570. But first, let's go to now for some stories.
Government is to introduce a new approach to budgeting dubbed programmed-based budgeting. The new system will be rolled out in the 2014 budget when it becomes as a result of some inherent challenges in the current 15-year-old activity-based budgeting system. The new budgeting method is expected to provide better budgeting information for improved accountability and transparency in the financial administration of the country. The Minister of Finance, Tekwe, announced this today at a pre-budget workshop for members of parliament. He said the new platform is a comprehensive integration of various systems aimed at enhancing efficiency in the financial delivery system. The software for the program-based budgeting system is estimated at $1.7 million.
Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. Over the weekend, the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, GBC, lived up to its billing as the pay setters and as an institution that can pride itself of having an excellent crop of journalists. For a couple of years now, the GBC can better be described as a sleeping giant, and any time it shakes itself, it puts other media houses at bay. Yes, this was the atmosphere last Saturday at the Banquet Hall State House when one of GBC ubiquitous presenters was named the 2012 Journalist of the Year. He really needs no further introduction, especially when it comes to GBC's programs like Behind the News, Standout, UBD Morning Show, Perspective, TalkNet, and Curious Minds. The personality to work on or Red Carpet Tonight is Kingsley Obinchere, or KOK, as he is popularly known in GBC. Congratulations, KOK, and you are welcome to Behind the News.
Thank you, Agatha.
And unfortunately, you'll be answering the questions tonight instead of the other way around.
How let's ensure in the middle of the way I don't turn it around and start doing what I do.
Since Saturday night, a lot of people are asking for your number. They've been calling your phone. It's off. What is happening to it?
Oh, the number? It comes on, and by the moment you switch it on, it gets full with all the text messages and the calls, and then runs down again quickly. So it means between last Saturday night and this time, it has to be on constant charge. So the moment it leaves the charging, then it means there is problem for it. So for all those still calling, maybe they can still try. They may be the fortunate ones who, when it is switched on, you know, when the people sit by what was called a pool of Siloam, waiting for their healing. You see, the water should become rough and then you enter. If you don't go in at that particular time, it creates a problem, and it seems to be happening now. So when it is switched on and there is adequate battery, those who manage to get in, I talk to them. But let me express deep appreciation to all those who have expressed so much support, sent congratulatory messages, and it is to us all, as I say, sometimes you do something, but you know that many people have been connected to it, but in many ways, you cannot mention them because of the nature of it. So the encouragement alone to go on is part of the process. So it's a joy to all those who have known what we stood for all this while. So thank you. You can keep sending them in. They will get to me. But if you don't even get a response, I'm using this medium to say thank you right from Boku to down south.
You really made GBC proud last Saturday at the 18th DJ Awards night, where you made tops as the 2012 Journalist of the Year. Is this something you anticipated?
Well, I won't say I anticipated. I tried to do something to help the society and to draw attention to a problem that we can all seriously concentrate on. And I put in some research, followed up on some personalities who are experts in the area, even on Behind the News. I was pushed that agenda in relation to the consumption of metals unknowingly in our food, how it gets into our food chain, what can be done. We even connected it with issues of galamsey, the chemicals getting into our network. You know, we need metals, we say, but not the type of metals you are consuming. Metals in the form of minerals. But in this way, things are getting so serious when you come up with the research and you listen to the metallurgists speak about the issue. So I decided to highlight it as an issue. And I started it in 2010. You'll be surprised. So I've worked on it in diverse ways, different angles explored it. So it's just one of the little angles I took to it that I threw in just to highlight that issue. Maybe the committee, even if it doesn't win, can mention that there is this issue that we need to work on to draw attention to it. And you have been so good. It turned out that it emerged tops as something that was well done. So I say thank God, and thank you to all those who I spoke to, all the market women I spoke to, the corn millers, the metallurgists, Sake and UST. He's spoken on this network before, Professor Samuel Kofi and Felix Etimene. They've been on before. And also to even the other doctors I spoke to who gave a background and insight to the issues and others I spoke to who may not be the expert but gave their frank analysis about what was going on, including even our own lady who sells confectionaries at the roadside, who said God protects us. So sometimes even if we don't get the regulatory environment working for us or checking some of these things, God will protect us, and it shows, you know, the mind of the Ghanaian.
You've won awards before during I think last year GDA awards, but how was the feeling like this time when your name came up tops? How was it like for you?
Sometimes somebody will say your legs become jelly at once. The only support I found was to embrace my junior roommate, Miss Becky, immediately. You know the way it is. Sometimes she's here with us and we are working together. And but at the end of it, you feel happy, but you know that at least all those who submitted did well. Those who were mentioned as nominees did very well. So if you've emerged tops, you can say thank God for it, but that doesn't mean that others were less. Let me use the word advisedly before it becomes part of the English language, less better.
Now, when it comes to radio journalism, you are no stranger to the mic. You've held the position a lot of time. Why is the motivation any time you sit behind the mic, and how do you feel about your listeners?
The motivation is that by the end we finish, we should have illuminated the issue we are covering. I tell people that we don't know it all. Some are listening who know so well about the issues we are talking about. Others also do not have any knowledge at all. Those who know so much of it, we shouldn't talk in such a way that by the time they finish listening, they will ask, what did these people come to do? Or what did you come to do? And for those who did not know anything at all, we shouldn't waste their state. We should help them to also have that knowledge, to help them take very positive, effective steps on the issues we handled. So that has been the prime motivation. So it means you are giving of yourself to influence a particular process. It may be political, but what do we achieve in the long run? A shouting bout that brought nothing, or a discussion that in the long run, maybe there were a few tempers rising, but we reached a fine consensus that promoted the peace. If it is about the science, how did it add up to our knowledge? And sometimes people tend to accuse scientists as not communicating well. So it means for us, you are breaking down very technical language to help people appreciate that science is about them. And I used science in this particular one that won the award. So the prime motivation is help, assist people to thrive and be happy they listen to you. They have gained something.
Well, you always liked flowing development stories, and of late there are a lot of political stories in the media, and especially when you have a development story, the text messages coming in are not enough.
Yes.
But immediately you do a political story, you have lots of messages, you hardly even have time to read. How do you feel about that?
It's titillating. That's you pick political stories and the text messages will flow in droves. But the mere fact that people are not sending in messages when they are picking the development stories doesn't mean they are not listening. I've been amazed sometimes at stories that we handled, but you didn't get all the text coming in, only to realize later that people took particular measures based on the program we ran. So that alone is a motivation that, in spite of the fact that you didn't get all the messages coming in, that still meant that people benefited from what we did. So it means we don't relent, we don't go, we have to go on. And one other fact that pushes us is that in the long run, somebody who didn't know something about the issue, because let's measure, even if we get about 500 text messages, what is the population of this country? Now we are talking about 25 million. So 500, they were happy or they felt something about, they sent messages. But there is a greater majority that stand to gain from the development story that we didn't have so many text messages for. So that tells you that since we tell ourselves, we pride ourselves in the media as being those who carry the mantle and also shape people's opinion, we can help them shape their opinion about this first. And I tell myself, we can excite the development stories and make it live.
Now, who has inspired you in this journey that you embarked on some years ago?
Are you talking about the total journey or for this particular
your
story?
Your total journey.
The total journey, I'll say our creator inspires me, and I quoted on that night, Colossians 3:23, I can never forget about that scripture, that whatever you do, work at it whole, so that it's to God and not as to men. That is a lot of motivation, because if you think it is to man, my pay is too small, so I'm not going to do so much, you know, you have not done it right. You feel it deep within you that you didn't give it your best shot. So that is the prime motivation. And also we find others who have walked the same path, who decided that this is what I wanted to do. Sometimes I jokingly remark that I'm still enjoying my hobby, and very soon maybe I'll find real work to do so that I'll get paid. So that is it. I've nurtured on this one right from the beginning. I never entered the media telling myself that this is what I wanted to do, but I was pursuing a hobby and got stuck. So maybe at the point in time, I'll move on. So I'll say for all those who have done it so well and that inspires others to follow, I get inspired by them too. I can mention one or two names, but this has been the prime motivation.
You said you entered into it as a hobby. So when you were growing up, what did you want to become?
A
banker,
that's a
lawyer?
That's
a
very good question. Maybe from primary school, maybe I wanted to be a doctor. You know, everybody at a point in time wants to be a doctor. In fact, I was still on that path till after the ordinary level, I got a little bit, I won't say into a quagmire, but you know, many people said, look at your ordinary level. For those who really went through the old system, look at your ordinary level results. All that you did with the arts were excellent. You sat in a science class and you topped the English language. It's amazing. People didn't understand and say, well, why do you want to do science? Maybe that is not where you should go. Think about it deeply and all. Somebody who has done additional mathematics and done all those other things. So when I started with sixth form, the very first day, in fact, I've been given the options: physics, chemistry, mathematics, or biology, whichever I preferred, or pick two art subjects and an unknown subject and do. In fact, I did economics, but it was also a hobby. I didn't do it as going to sit in the classroom, but I managed to write the whole level or I passed very well in it too. So I said, okay, then just let me pick that one, add an unknown subject. I did geography. I loved it. I added it. And so I said, okay, it doesn't matter. Whatever I want to do, I should remain committed to it. So I finally ended up in the arts class. So that is the reason why I tell people, oh, I managed to complete my medical school in Form 5, unfortunately, but the zeal has been there to still work with the sciences, and over the years, I've forever worked with it. So when I tell people about chemical formulas, or sometimes I quote, you know, some of the chemical equations to them, they are surprised that where is this person coming from. I tell people plus B plus or minus root of 4 AC over 2, and they wonder who exactly is talking. Is it the person who read the art or is talking science? So
now,
it's been very effective along the line. We changed it and went on.
And now I would say you are a doctor of journalism. Kinsley, are you a fulfilled person having achieved the art meeting Ghanaian journalism, journalist of the year?
You cannot say you are fulfilled, especially when there are so many challenges and even the issue you raised is still a problem. So it means we must keep fighting. What you feel happy is that with this award, it has highlighted the challenge identified. Many people will talk about it, will try to see how best we can handle it. You know, perfection belongs to paradise. It is only God that can bring it, because the Bible will show us one basic fact. No matter how we try as humans, what we can do is to build fine hospitals. When we finish the hospitals, we add mortuaries. It means people will get sick and people will die. But the point in time when people won't get sick and people won't die according to Revelations is what we all look out for. But once we are not there yet, as promised by God, it means we need to keep working at what we do to help make the problems we face less. So that is what we aim at doing. We cannot ever get satisfied because, look, the waste is still there. I write so much about sanitation with passion. Sometimes I get irritated when I walk around and see someone drop litter. It means my work is not done. All that you've done is useless because the person dropped that litter. You cannot ever hope to be very fine. Even though we'll still find in the scriptures that those polluting the earth will also be removed because they are not doing things right, you help yourself to appreciate that. At least let's educate them. Maybe they might find good reason to stop what they are doing. If you manage to win one or two over, you are doing your work, you are succeeding. Two or three, you are pursuing it still. You can't get everybody, so it means there is never a satisfaction at any point in time. You feel happy that your effort is acknowledged at a point in time, but that means that you need to still do more to assist others. And you'll be amazed, sometimes deep in the night, you get calls from people who are in one trouble or the other, and they need your assistance because you are the media person they know who can quickly channel the problem to a particular area. When you have that call, it means that somebody is still in need. Your work is not done. And I tell people, I don't close. I change the workplace. When I work with the technicians, I just tell them, I'm going to take my bath and change my clothes and get back. The work continues, even at home. And when you hear anything, and even when you are sleeping, you wake up quickly and start writing to keep the process going. So you can never be satisfied. You are happy and you share the joy with all those who have been part of the process so far and are still part of the process, and it helps us to really move on. We need to keep working whilst we live.
So working deep in the night, how has it impacted on your family? And now are you going to go home early?
Somebody asked me that same question this afternoon. Will you go home early? As much as it is possible and within my means, I'll try to go home early. But sometimes, you know, our work involves deadlines. When people ask, won't you go home? Sometimes you feel like asking, will you please continue it for me when I'm gone? If you don't have anyone to continue, it means you need to still finish that work. Because of the deadlines, sometimes you need to steal it. It's natural with media work. But that doesn't mean that you abandon the family. No. As much as possible, you keep together with them. So when you share together in biblical issues with them, you interact with them, you always maintain regular contact, no matter where you are, and you ensure that the kids are also doing very well, it means that you are keeping that family bond. So there are times that you don't feel like moving from the house. Just staying around and even doing some of that work in the house also pays. Because after all, you have your deliverables. If those deliverables are going, it means that work is still going on. So not everybody will be happy. That is why I commended my wife for sometimes being a watchman. And a watchwoman, I should say, we have to be mindful about the gender at times, but she is supporting actively. So sometimes I try to assign her some of the work so that she knows, okay, then we are working on it together. It's not finished. People run away and leave me whenever I tell them I have editing because they know cutting green lines takes so much time. That is the waves on the machine. And the moment you mention it, they want to run away. But we need to keep on so that people will be satisfied. Sanitation, health, things are not right. We need to draw government's attention. Keep them on their toes. For whoever is criticizing, we ask, what are you also contributing to the process? Is it just complaint galore because everybody is complaining? I also want to complain without necessarily helping that process. We need to really assess ourselves so that we can go on. When we continue to do that, at least others will see, even if we didn't finish it, we tried in our efforts to go on and make much progress.
It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. We are also live on Unique FM 95.7 in Accra. You are Radio 89.5 in Bogatanga and Radio Upper West 90.1 in Wa. And I am in the studio with the 2012 DJA Journalist of the Year, Kingsley Obin-Chiré. Now, let's go to the phone lines, and we have on the line former MCE for Boko, Musa Abdullahi, who Kingsley happened to interview a number of times. Good evening, Mr. Abdullahi, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Agatha.
Well, Kingsley is the 2012 Journalist of the Year. How did you feel on hearing this news?
Wow, that day I didn't know what to do. It was far from me. I wanted to hug him and to say congratulations for the highest award as the best journalist of the year. I was not surprised at all, because I know Kingsley is one person who is always passionate about his job, is committed to it. He always puts everything in whatever he does. So I was not surprised that he was adjudged the best journalist of the year. I pray that may the good Lord continue to guide him, give him more wisdom and strength to go about with his work. And I know the sky is his limit.
Well, but how was it like for you, especially when they call you and they have to interview you on an issue?
Anytime Kingsley was interviewing me, he will always put you on your toes. You know that this is a journalist who has prepared on the subject matter, and he's asking you very critical questions that you need to think on the spot and give the right responses. And that tells you that he's a journalist that really he will do his research properly before he decides to interview you. So knowing who he is and the caliber of journalist that he is, I have always believed that he will surely become the journalist of the year one day. And true, it has come to pass.
So apart from all these congratulatory messages, what advice do you have for him?
Sorry?
I'm saying, apart from all these congratulatory messages, what advice do you have for him and other journalists as well?
My advice for him is that the work has just begun. The challenges before him today as the journalist of the year has begun. This is the time he has to even prove that he got the award based on merit. So he has to work harder than before to justify the award, the confidence that has been bestowed on him. So for me, and I know that he will not rest on his oars, I urge him to go all out there, to still put in all he can to make sure that he is the shining star of journalists in Ghana. And all other journalists, I salute you for the wonderful work that you are doing. You are actually the fourth estate in our governance, and you have always put public officers on their toes and try to ensure that the right things are done. I salute all of you, and I urge all of you to continue to do your work that will help transform Ghana for all of us to live in.
Mr. Abdullah, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Mr. Abdullah is a former MCE for Boko. Kingsley, what do you have to say to him?
I think he's mentioned it all, and when he was speaking, one thing that I was running through my mind was a colleague at the university who, whenever he hears I have to do the interview, will tell me point blank, even if I'm not doing the direct booking, will inform me that, look, your people called me to speak, and they say you will be doing the interview. I won't speak because you will worry me. That person will remark jokingly like that. But it is to bring home to the fact that when you are being engaged in the public discourse, you should be prepared to answer the issues. Sometimes you may not have all the answers. It is not wrong to say, I don't have this answer, but I'll check and let you have the facts later. So just acknowledging that you need to prepare to come to the interview is very, very vital. Thank you so much for all their complimentary comments. At points in time, it sounds like, oh, the program is a valedictory one because we are moving out into the sunset. But
yeah.
let me assure all that even from behind the news, we have not moved away. We are just on a temporary stress, temporary break.
Austin Gama is a labor consultant, and he has also been grilled several times by Kingsley, and he's joining us on the line. Good evening, Mr. Gama. You are welcome to the program.
Good evening, Agatha.
Well, how did you feel when you heard the news?
I was sitting around and listening and watching, and a little surprise, if anything at all. And I was telling my wife that Mr. Obinchere has proved all these years that I know him that one day he will become the journalist of the year. And so I have no reason to doubt whatsoever why among the lot of people, indeed very good people, he has been chosen as the best among the best. I have had occasion to be grilled, like you rightly said,
yes,
by him.
Yes.
1 hour or so, and on a number of occasions. Indeed, you know my background as a change practicing manager, and so as a mediator, I clearly see in him someone who is capable and has always been using language and skills effectively. And that makes me very proud of him. Indeed, this evening, before you came to your studio, I called him and congratulated him for the wonderful work he's been performing and the accolade bestowed upon him. And I asked him to share it with his wife, because like he rightly said, I do know the wife who had actively participated in my programs, and I know they have a very solid kind of relationship that cannot be easily broken by anybody just because of his work. He is a great supporter of Mr. Vinchere. And I look forward to, I promise him today, I will not say he's online, but I promise him that he will have something wonderful from me. And I look forward to just doing that.
So
I pray that God will grant him grace to be able to go through years ahead of him.
How about other up-and-coming journalists like myself? What advice do you have for us?
Indeed, if you have not said it, I'm going to say that I have no doubt and I have no reason to doubt. Knowing what you have gone through recently, even with me, I know that the days ahead is so bright, and I look forward to you mounting that mountain and ensuring that you don't come down until you achieve the same laurel. Because GBC, you have the capacity to do many more things than you have been doing so far, and there's no doubt that you are one of them. Indeed, I saw one of your wonderful ladies recently elevated as a deputy, you know, chief executive, and I was so proud, but I do know her. She has interviewed me a few times, and so I'm really looking forward to seeing you people, and I will avail myself to assist the corporation and those of you that we are so close in any way possible to provide some mentorship and coaching that would enable you really use language and skills effectively to make your work beneficial to Ghana and indeed the whole of your listeners across the world.
Mr. Gama, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Austin Gama is a labor consultant. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra, and Sulemana Brahima is Deputy Executive Director, Media Foundation for West Africa, and we would like to engage him tonight on the topic Media to Partisan. But before then, we have your good friend Kingsley Obinchere in the studio, who is still the Journalist of the Year, and a short message for him. Hello, good evening, Mr. Abrahima.
Good evening, Agatha.
Well, you heard me that Kingsley Obinchere is in the studio with us. What message do you have for him?
Well, I cannot but to congratulate him quite extremely for achieving this feat. I think that as far as journalism practice in Ghana is concerned, this is the highest award one can receive, and particularly for doing so while working with a state broadcaster. In many parts of Africa, it wouldn't be that easy to do the independent and in-depth kind of work that would earn you this kind of award. And so for achieving this feat while at the same time working with a state broadcaster, I think that he deserves the biggest of commendations. And what I can say is kudos to Kingsley for this achievement.
Well, we will continue with Kingsley, but let's go back to Mr. Suleiman Abrahima. Now, talking about this important topic, what is your general assessment of the Ghanaian media, their contribution to national development?
Well, I think definitely the media has been a big contributor in terms of our democracy, in terms of national development in all sectors that we can talk about. Of course, we do recognize the challenges that the media are confronted with, and also the professional questions that we all talk about all the time. It's just an effort that we should continue to make to ensure that we have the highest standards possible everywhere in the world. We all were witnesses to what happened in the UK, you know, regarding the phone tapping issue. So there are questions of professionalism in all parts of the world as far as journalism is concerned. And we are doing our bit here. But as far as the media's contribution is concerned, I think that we all acknowledge that the fourth Republican democratic dispensation that we are all enjoying now, the media has been a big contributor. People are talking about corruption, you know, within the past months and weeks. And I think that most of the corrupt issues or the practices that go on have been exposed by the media. But for the media, maybe we wouldn't have known as much as we know as far as corrupt practices that are going on is concerned. And therefore, our media is doing well. Of course, that is not to say that the media is perfect and therefore we wouldn't have to deal with the challenges that we have to deal with, both in terms of the challenges in newsrooms that journalists are faced with, and also the professional and ethical questions that need to be addressed.
Well, I'll endow you to hold the line for me. Let me go back to Kingsley so that I sign off with him. Earlier in my introduction, Kingsley, I said GBC can pride itself of having some fine journalists. Do you agree with that?
Certainly. You come in here and you can say that if it were to be a beauty contest, you really have a bevy of them. But sometimes people ask, are you also in GBC? It means maybe they are not listening. I don't want to say maybe they are listening to the wrong station at points in time, but they are not listening to the real issues. The quality content that is put out, they may not just be tuned in. So maybe it needs us sitting down and having an introspection. Why are the people not listening to maybe this very good package you have put out? We can reach out to them. Maybe reach out to the younger people to get to know that this is still existing. The state broadcaster might have all its challenges, but it has still got an immense platform to help educate people. Because, one, it is not so commercially minded, and it's not just concerned about raising money to survive, even though raising money to survive is also very vital, especially looking at prevailing circumstances. But I would say that we have all the professionals here. That is why when others look around, they look in here to get more professionals. So certainly, they are here. They will continue to need support.
They are here. So why is it that the top awards do skip past the fine journalists at the state
Maybe some may not put them in. I didn't tell you that history. 2001, 2002, coming down. The then head of news, Ibrahim Redu, will be on me. Kingsley, what are you doing? Why are you not putting in any of these stories? And, you know, I'll smile and then run away. So at a point in time, somebody said, we know why you don't want to. You don't even want to get in there at all. So get in there, just register. And then I'm waiting for your entry. And the person was on me. And I don't know how that person formed an alliance with my wife. And my wife said, please, where have you gotten to with that project? And that is where we are presently.
Well, briefly, let me find out from you. Our listeners have always been asking, why is Kingsley Obinje behind the news? What is happening? Are you on leave or why are you not on air? So, from the horse's own mouth, you can...
I alluded to it earlier, saying that just on a temporary break, a little bit of hibernation. And when you know of the process of hibernation, it means that whatever had gone into the hibernation, we emerge from that hibernation. So people should remain tuned in. We are not gone at all. We'll be back. And as we say, if it's a commercial break, shortly.
Briefly, what advice do you have for the young journalists here?
We should learn to learn from those who have taken the lead. We shouldn't be in a hurry for that level of popularity. I was doing a count just a few days ago and realized that I've been through about 26 different programs in this house. You'll be amazed. Right from Radio 2, the Radio 2 that is no more in existence. Sometimes we even assist in a bit with Radio 1 when it was in existence. Then through the Radio GR at that time, that became Unique FM. And even on Ubuntu, I produced a program on Ubuntu, young people's program on Ubuntu. So it means all these things were helping us learn through the roots. You work with other seniors. You may pick one or two things from them. You continue to learn. Unfortunately, sometimes people get in and they want their popularity in an instant. You can't get it. When you jump too far and maybe it's a gully or maybe a deep gulf, you might end up falling in. But if you wait and really give your time, you might have developed longer legs to jump over. So people should learn. And for those who have taken the lead too, let's learn to hold the hands of those coming up and assist them. It's very, very essential. We shouldn't chide them too much. Let them know the errors, but let them know the way forward, effective way forward, so that together we can progress. Because at a point in time, we may all not be sitting in. I was in there, but you are in there now. Even though I'm coming back, you know, you are doing it well. I will commend you. There may be faults here and there. For us all, when we sit in, we make mistakes. But when we are prepared to still learn and even listen to outsiders, draw attention to issues, we can make progress.
Well, so I'm learning to have long legs like yours. Kingsley Obinje is my studio guest tonight. He is the 2012 DJA Journalist of the Year. Many thanks for your time with us tonight, Kingsley.
Thank you so much. Maybe some other time we'll get to talk about all the other angles that we didn't touch on. Thank you, and wishing you all the best. And the team too, commendation we dedicated to all of you who are still in the process actively, because you are also still actively in that same process.
Thank you, Kingsley. And going back to the phone lines, thanks for staying there, Mr. Suleiman Abraima.
Thank you, Agatha.
Now, talking about the media as the fourth estate of the realm, which have played a significant role in Ghana's social, economic and political development since the colonial era, they have contributed immensely to sustaining the country's young democracy. There is this school of thought that the media are being partisan in their quest to discuss national issues. Do you agree?
Well, I think it's a phenomenon that exists everywhere. And therefore, one cannot expect that in the Ghanaian context, the media should be devoid of, you know, partisan discussions and politics. I think it is part of the job that the media would do. Politics is all about information sharing. It's about communicating ideas. And the biggest platform for doing so
remains the media. The media remains, I mean, the biggest channel for mass communication. And once we are talking about an enterprise that involves communication of ideas, trying to win over people's minds through, you know, telling them what you have and why you are better than the others, I think that the media would continue to be flooded with political messages.
What is really wrong if a media house decides to toe partisan line, like what some media houses do in the advanced world?
Well, I think that is really about, the question is whether the media is professional, and by that, are they upholding the ethical standards or the code of ethics? A media house can decide to say that, well, we are pro-liberal, or we are pro-capitalist, or we are pro-socialist. Essentially, the media would espouse the ideals of these political ideology. What then one should look out for is that in doing so, does that particular media house and the reference abuse the privacy of opponents, you know, do things that are highly unethical as far as the code of ethics of journalism is concerned. But essentially, there wouldn't be anything wrong with a newspaper house or a media house deciding that, as far as we are concerned, we think capitalism is the best, and therefore those are the ideals that we would espouse most of the time on our platform.
Well, I'll indulge you again to hold the line for me. One of the social commentators and a regular voice on the airwaves, Kwabena Bonfey, has joined me on the line. Good evening, Mr. Bonfey. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Nagata. Thank you for having me.
Well, the media are being accused of concentrating on politics instead of bringing some of the major issues confronting the development of the ordinary Ghanaian to the fore. Issues about education, housing, roads, health, and so on. What is your take on this?
Well, first and foremost, let me say good evening to you and our listeners. What one would want to first wonder where this accusation will be coming from. You know, I was made to understand it's coming from our Minister for Information. I want to make this fundamental point that the media run with what newsmakers make. So the question would be, what have newsmakers in this country been making? What have been the issues of education, the issues of agriculture, the issues of employment, the issues of manufacturing that we, or people in positions that make news, really have been making on such topics? The reality is that, unfortunately, there's very little we do. And so the media have to do with the little that is done. But I do not subscribe to the idea or the notion that to seek the views of political or partisan or party people or players in itself is wrong. Because that would mean to suggest also that political parties are made up of empty heads who have no technical know-how or idea with respect to subjects of development. We have got lawyers in political parties. We have got educationists. We have got engineers. We have got people of various backgrounds coming from the political floor. So it depends on what it is that one wants. At the end of the day, I sincerely believe that this country, we have so much mind and brain that we can make this country better than what it is now. Unfortunately, leadership is failing, has failed, and is not pointing to any forward direction that will drive everybody, including the media.
Does it mean that you don't agree with the assertion that the media tend to engage social commentators and political actors on issues instead of experts who have deeper knowledge on the issues?
The question is, who are the experts? Who do you call the expert? That is the question. For example, I am a social commentator because you have decided, Agatha, to call me a social commentator in this respect. If you wanted to discuss issues on IT, for example, I believe sincerely By training and by education, I have the capacity and I'm endowed with something called information to discuss that. If you wanted us to discuss issues on education, by training and by study and by certification, I think I'm endowed with some knowledge to comment on that. It is about, you know, picking and choosing. And I don't believe that you, the media houses, in terms of your production, do not have the capacity, especially Radio Ghana. I have been listening to Behind the News, and all the people that you bring to contribute, to comment, and to add on to the issues that have been discussed, I don't think that you have a deficit. So maybe we may have some media houses exhibiting or lacking in some areas. But well, that may be the issue. But to generalize it and say that the entire media front is guilty of that or has that deficit, I don't think it would be a fair comment to make, especially so coming from the minister responsible for the sector.
So on the scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the performance of the Ghanaian media?
I would say that we are where we are in terms of our political maturity and our acceptance of this fourth republic, notwithstanding the failures of government, because of the role that the media have played. I sincerely believe also that there's more room for improvement. We need to measure and shape ourselves across the divide. But I sincerely believe bottom line is leadership is cause, every other thing is effect. Unfortunately, our country has not seen the kind of leadership that is required from us or of us as a people to take us to the next level, especially under this fourth republic.
Right.
And sad to say, our president from the ushering in of this fourth republic,
all right,
have not measured up to the challenge.
All right. We want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Kwabena,
thank you, Swami.
Bonfair is one of the social commentators on our airwaves. And let me go back to you, Mr. Brimer. You heard Kwabena Bonfair on the fact that we sometimes call these social commentators and political actors instead of looking for experts.
Well, Agatha, I think that is where I also have a concern, because there are media houses in this country, particularly television and radio stations, and we all recognize that the flagship programs of these stations are usually the morning programs, the programs that are aired between 6 a.m. and, let's say, 10 a.m. And I think that it's become a phenomenon that for some stations, certain people are consistently the people who are featured on particular days. And these people discuss all matters from energy to economy to water to sanitation to environment to internet to science and so on and so forth. And that is where I think that we need to look at quite critically and begin to think about the production. Who are the people that we need to talk to on these subjects that we are going to discuss? Of course, at some point, you may say that, well, it's a general discussion, and therefore the people that we have as our panelists may be the same people. But I think that we may want to begin to reflect on that particular aspect of radio program production and shift away from having the same voices every Tuesday, the same voices every Wednesday. I think it's not something that is healthy.
Now, what do you identify as the challenges confronting the Ghanaian media in their attempt to concentrate on development issues instead of partisan politics?
Well, it's quite difficult to really draw the line between partisan politics and developmental issues. For example, I am tempted to think that if there is a discussion about this whole thing about the Ghana Revenue Authority and the SUBA contract, people may describe that as politics. If it's about the JIDA issue, people may look at it as politics. But, you know, depending on how one looks at it, we could be talking about development because it's about money. And if we are talking about schools and school infrastructure, we are talking about hospitals, we are talking about ICT and development and all of that. It requires money. It is about our roads, water supply, housing. It's all about money. And therefore, if there is any malfeasance regarding how we have spent some monies, I don't think that we have to look at it from the perspective of just politics, but also from the angle of development.
All right.
If this money was available, what is it that we could have done with it?
We want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Suleiman Abraima is the Deputy Executive Director of the Media Foundation of West Africa. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana Accra. Going, going, gone. Will it happen or government will intervene? Well, the reality is that an auction house in Accra is determined to auction the bungalow which houses the AMA chief executive Alfred Okovandapo, as well as the assets of the AMA, on Thursday to defray the costs incurred as a result of an abrogated contract the AMA had with EWCL, a West Management Company. An Accra Fast Track High Court ordered the sale, which is to be carried out by Vance Mart Company. However, earlier in an interview with the AMA Chief Executive Alfred Randapo, he said the AMA is in serious contact with the Attorney General's Department to halt the sale. Let's listen to the AMA Chief Executive.
The fact of the matter is that, you know, AMA had a contract with CCW on waste management. However, the contract was abrogated under the previous administration. And so CCW took the matter to court and they were giving judgment. And so the judgment calls for some sums of money that has to be paid by the assembly. The assembly has not been able to meet that obligation and they are exercising their option to want to auction our properties. But we won't sit down to allow that to happen. We will see and we are working on arrangements to settle this thing amicably so that AMA properties will still be available to the assembly to undertake its obligations of development to the city of Accra.
So are you making any headway in terms of negotiation to prevent the sale of your property?
Yeah, AMA and the Attorney General's Department are working very hard on this to make sure that government interest is safeguarded by way of making sure that we save and prevent any property sales so that the AMA premises and offices will be available for the execution of the development of the city.
That was the AMA Chief Executive Alfred Okovandapo talking to George Ankara, and we are now joined by Jacobus Vandapo, the auctioneer. Good evening, Mr. Vandapo, and you're welcome to the program. My producers have been Edmond Tete, Brian Tagama, Christopher Isidu, Phyllis Kofi, and Celestine Avi, and Najable Ago read the summary. Franco Usuansa controlled the sounds. My name is Agatha Samuel. Many thanks for